We've been talking for the last bunch of weeks on communication and on the effects of how to communicate with somebody else and how to and the effects of negative communication. And now we turn it into the positives. Amen. We're going to go positive communication from here on out. Amen. God is awesome all the time. And in between too. That's right. That's right, bro. Get your Bibles out. I'm not going to read the whole chapter right now, because if I read the whole chapter, you'll lose it. So I'm going to just read one verse, and then we're going to go to the whole chapter and let the whole chapter be what we're going to do for tonight. The whole chapter is going to tell us how. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to stay in Ephesians chapter 4 all night. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to keep you a long time. We're going to go through it. If we stay a real long time, it's because you're asking a bunch of questions, which is fine. I don't mind. That's right. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, this stuff here is stuff, if you came to me in my office and said, look, how am I supposed to talk to somebody? Tell me how to talk to somebody, or tell me how to handle something. This is some of the stuff I'd be giving you. So remember, this is counseling stuff. You can take it, put it in a notebook. If you missed any of this, let me know. We'll get you copies of anything you want. Put it in a notebook. Clip it with a three-clip binder, put it in that binder, and you've got some stuff. If you need to talk to somebody or they need help, you can help them. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. That's our key verse, although we're going to talk about the whole chapter. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Or don't use foul or abusive language, but everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Father, I love you and I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your word, because your word is so awesome. It's so powerful. It's so true. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us all, God. Help us to see, to know, to understand your word. Father, let it be a fire burning within us, Lord. Let it be a lighthouse to us, Lord. And Father, let us be lighthouses to others, Lord, because we can tell them this stuff. Lord, in the name of Jesus, you're awesome. We praise your name. Church said, amen. Now, I'm just going to throw out a script. I'm going to throw out a topic, and I want you to tell me what's the first scripture. You ain't got to quote it. You ain't got to go down all that. So I'm just going to say, when I say spiritual warfare, what's the first chapter, book and chapter you think of when I say spiritual warfare? Ephesians 6. Okay? And if you go to Ephesians 6, it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. What does the very first word of verse 10 say? Finally. Finally. So if it's saying finally, what does that mean? That means that this is the last part. Sometimes we take this as the whole part. The whole part of spiritual warfare. This isn't the whole part. This is the armor. This is the final part. There's more to it. You can take the whole book of Ephesians, and the whole book of Ephesians will help you in spiritual warfare. So now, you constantly and continually deliver messages that reveal the true disposition of your heart. But it's not just what you say, but the way you say it, the way you listen to others and look at others. Here's that key verse. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others up and according to their needs, that it may benefit them who listen. Now, listen to this now. When Daniel was a deputy, he had to wear a bulletproof vest. When Daniel was over in Afghanistan, he was to wear full body armor. Most of the time he didn't. That made me mad. I've even got a picture. They took a picture of him as he's on patrol, getting ready to go up a set of steps in a house in Kabul with his AK-47. He's getting ready to go up into a house, and all he's wearing is his bulletproof vest instead of his full body armor. I was so mad at him, and I said, son, they gave you full body armor for a reason. Put it on. One thing I learned about this when he was a patrolman, or when he was a deputy, with that fool, with that vest, he told me after he wore it for a while, he said, "Daddy, this stuff is actually rubbing me raw." He said, "I got to wear it, but I don't like it because it's rubbing me raw." And I said, "Well, what can you do to keep it from rubbing you raw?" And he said, "There's something called Under Armour." And so we went and got some Under Armour. Matter of fact, once he told me, I went on ahead and bought him like 5 shirts. I said, "Let's go get some." So we went and we found some Under Armour. We put it on. And I said, "How's this stuff going to help? Because it fits so tight to your skin." And he said, "Daddy, it really helps a lot." And then I found out this Under Armour actually keeps you from chafing with your armor. It keeps you cool, not getting so hot while you're wearing all this stuff, because this stuff's really hot. It keeps you from being irritated and keeps you from being pinched. So you can wear your armor all the whole 12-hour shift, and it'll be comfortable because you got this Under Armour on. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 is the armor. But in order for the armor to fit right, in order for that armor not to pinch you, in order for that armor not to irritate you, in order for you to be able to stay cool under that armor, you need to back up in Ephesians. As you back up, you'll see the Under Armour, the stuff that you need to wear to keep you cool, to keep you from being irritated, the stuff that makes the armor more effective and easier to wear. So we're going to go to chapter 4, and we're going to talk about this. You see I just want to read this and read it again and read it again and read it again. I sometimes have to read it to myself 2 or 3 times. Even though I know it, I read it again and again and again because I really, really have to concentrate. Because sometimes, how many just want to open your mouth sometimes and let it rip? I know I'm the only one. How many sometimes you put your mouth in gear and your brain's still in neutral? Or sometimes you put your mouth in gear and your brain's in reverse. Or sometimes it's just shut down. You're not even thinking. And it just... Okay? So, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, and that it may benefit them who listen. So let me ask you a question. Here's my question to every last one of us. Before we're talking about the bad things that can happen out of communication, negative communication. We also talked about how to talk to one another. And we've been doing some awesome stuff, and awesome stuff in communication. But now we're going to step up gears a bit. We're going to actually, we're going into four-wheel drive. Believe it or not, we ain't been in the four-wheel drive yet. We're in four-wheel drive tonight. All right? And guess who's driving? You are. Get ready. Let me ask you a question. If I was to ask you about your life, and I ask you, who's in control? What would you say? I would love to say God. I would love to say every minute of every day, God's in control. And God looked down and said, huh? Really? Really? Or the truth be known, part of the day, the people I come in contact with, they're in control. Oh. How are they in control? I come in contact with them, they're in control. Because if your attitude changes from a positive to a negative and you have a bad day for hours on end after you talk to that person, because all you can do is think about what that person said or did, guess what? They are controlling you. Wow. And the bad thing is you can't say, look what you made me do. No, they didn't. Nope, they didn't. So part of the day, people you come in contact with, they control you. How long they control you is up to you. Okay? I can't keep a bird from landing on my head, but I can't keep it from building a nest. All right? Other parts of the day, your circumstances are in control. When your circumstances get in control, it will drive you crazy. I called my wife this morning and said, how's it going, dear? She says, fast. I said, fast as in you're having fun, the day's going by. She says, no. Fast as in slow down so I can figure this out. I said, well, I like the first fast. It's pretty cool, but that last fast, I'm not touching on. She says, nope. So again, there's times where circumstances control you. There's times where other people control you. Then there's times where fear controls you. Well, if I stand up or if I do this or that, guess what? Then I've lost control. Well, you know what? Maybe one of the best things in the world that could happen to you is to lose control if you give to God. Amen? So now, here we go. We're going to talk about that now. Who's in control? All of us have said words we wish we had never said the very minute it came out of our mouth. There's been times I said something, I want to do this. Look, as I'm talking, I want to go, suck it back in. You know what? It don't work. I was talking to Lynn not long ago, and while I'm talking, I went, and she said, "What are you doing?" I'm trying to suck those words back in because that didn't make sense. She says, "Too late. The cat's out of the bag. Forget it." Okay. So now, chapter 4 of Ephesians has the answer to this regrettable dilemma. Give God control of your life. He will enable you to harness the power of your words through applying these practical insights. So first I'm going to tell you, how do you give Christ control? People, you hear the preacher preaching, give Christ control. And everybody goes, amen. You walk out and say, well, he didn't tell us how. I mean, you're ready to go outside and charge hell with a water pistol, but you can't find hell or a water pistol. I'm going to show you clearly, distinctly. You don't have to go going all back through all different books in the Bible. One book is the Under Armour. It's the stuff that keeps Ephesians 6 armor from pinching you, from rubbing you raw, from making you hot. Here it is. Ready? Y'all say amen. All right. First, verse number 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Now, somebody says, well, I weren't called to be a preacher. No, not necessarily, but everybody's been called to be a minister. And everybody has a pulpit up here in a church, but everybody has a pulpit. It may be your sewing machine. It may be your grocery cart. I was at the hospital the other day, and I actually was in a big hurry. And I stopped in to check on somebody at the hospital. And before I got two words out, I had to go out and stand in the hall. So I'm out in the hall and I said, well, Lord, this isn't helping me. I'm in a hurry. And I saw the cleaning lady standing right over there. And I heard the voice of the Lord as clearly as I'm talking to you now. I said, I want you to tell her that she's my angel and that she's doing awesome work. And she's helping a lot of people in this place that someone even considered doing what she's doing. So I turned around and I said, you know what? You're an angel. And she said, excuse me? I said, God is honored when people are willing to do things like this. You are awesome. I just want you to know that a lot of people have had a good stay here and been healthy because of you. Not because of nurses, not because of doctors, but because she kept the place clean. Amen? And she said, oh. So I walked back in the room, and I walked back in the room, and I thought that I was through with her. She came right in the room. And I'm thinking, you could clean it some other time. I'm talking. The Lord spoke to me and said, I sent her in here. And I want you to tell her she's going to reap what she sowed. So I said, okay, she's in here. You sent her in here. I said, not only are you God's angel, but you're going to reap what you sow. And she started crying. And she said, God sent me to you and you to me today. She said, I had something very terrible happen yesterday. And she said, I need to hear all those words you said. And she said, God is amazing. And I said, yes, he is. You see, listen. Listen to him. Here I was trying to get out of the hospital. But instead of getting to the hospital, I get stuck. And I find out I'm getting stuck. But I'm not getting stuck. God's put me in a position where I can help somebody. And so think about this thing. When things are going on in your life and you think things are out of control, remember, God's still in control. So watch. Desire to live a life that pleases God. I like this. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk or lead a life worthy of the divine calling which you have been called with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service. In other words, We're not all called to be in this pulpit, but we're all called to have a pulpit, and we're all called to make a difference in somebody's life. Amen? We're all called that way. Number two, so first you got to desire. God, I desire to please you. Remember Sunday morning about the midst of worship? And one of them is we think that worship's supposed to please us. No, worship's supposed to please God. So now, again, God, am I pleasing you? And sometimes, after I've opened my mouth and let it rip and I left my brain home, I get scared when I say, Lord, I want to please you. And then I say, I know I just didn't. And forgive me. But now let me get Dave Clinton out of the way and let me please you. Okay, so don't be afraid to go back and ask him and get it straight. So then, first desire to live it. Number two, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Pray for humility, gentleness, and patience, and forgiveness. Living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind and humility, meekness, unselfishness, gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing one another, and walking or making allowances because you love one another. So first, tell God you want to please him. Every day, God, I want to please you. Then number two, now God, mold me into somebody you can use. Amen? Mold me. Because if I'm going to be David Linton, I can tell you David Linton's got David Linton in more trouble than anybody I know. Amen? David Linton's got the biggest mouth anybody I know. David Linton makes the most mess anybody I know. David Linton has a mouth big enough for two sets of feet. So I say, God, you got to help me. Amen. Number three. Verse three. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. In other words, seek to keep peace and have a oneness of spirit with others. All right? Number four. Make union with God's Spirit your goal. He says in here, there is one body and one spirit, just as there is one hope that belongs to the calling you received. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign over all, pervading all, and living in us all. So we need to try to be in a position where the Holy Ghost wants to abide with us and us with him. And then finally, know that your power for control is in unity with Christ. I'm just reading. I'm just going ahead and reading translations instead of reading it right out of the King James Version. It says, yet grace, God's unmerited favor, will give to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich, bounteous gifts. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, he led a train of vanquished foes, and he bestowed gifts on men. But he ascended. Now, what can this he ascended mean but that he had previously descended from the heights of heaven into the depths of the lower parts of the earth? He who has descended to this very same as he who also ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence, might fill all things, the whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. And his gifts are varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. His intention was for the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up the body, Christ's body, the church, and that it may develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature, the fullness of the Christ, and the completeness found in him. So now, first, you got to desire it. I want to please you, God. Number two, pray for God to mold you so you can please him, so he can work. Seek to keep peace. Know that when you're talking with somebody, when you're ministering to somebody, it always has, in the ultimate end, peace. Now, as a pastor and especially as a hospital chaplain, I have gone into situations where literally I had to break up fights right in a hospital. or had to stand in places where honestly I felt very uncomfortable because I felt like I was in jeopardy. I went into a house because, and the law was around the house, and the law and his sister called me and said, please come get my brother, because the law said if they go in, they're going to shoot him. And they were there with their guns, and they told me, this was back some way back in years, because nowadays this wouldn't even happen. But back in those days, they had a lot, the law had the guns on him. Said he's already shot once. He shot over, way over, so we know he weren't trying to hurt us. So we're here, though. You got to go get him, because if we go in, we're going to shoot and kill. And I walked into the house, and I knocked on the door. The guy was drunk. And he said, get out of here, preacher. And I said, I'm not going anywhere. Give me the gun. He said, I'm not giving you the gun. Now get out of here before I shoot you. And I said, you ain't shooting anybody. And I'm thinking, Lord, let him listen to my prayer. He's not shooting. And I took my Bible and I stuck it right here. And I held it. I said, Lord, if he shoots me in the chest, at least your word is going to protect me. And I said, I tell you what, just let me in. If you just let me in, everything will be okay. He said, I'm going to let you in. I ain't giving you anything. And when he opened the door to let me in, I saw the gun, so I pulled it out. He got mad and said, give me back my gun. So I took his shotgun and I emptied all the shells. I didn't get back to him. Then he tried to stab himself. So he had his hand all cut up, but still. And so he's in the emergency room. They got him in the emergency room. And when he's in the emergency room, they hollered, somebody needs to come out here. This guy's crazy. And his sister said, I ain't going back there. He's crazy. Get the preacher. He'll go with anybody. And so I wound up in the emergency room. And he said, they want me to put my hand in this betadine stuff, iodine. They said it's going to hurt. And I said, no, it won't. Trust me. He said, I'm going to trust you, preacher. And I grabbed his hand and pushed it in. And he went, I can't even make the rebel yell. He did. And he said, when I get out of here, I'm going to kill. I said, cool. They took him off to someplace rehab. I didn't see him for a year or two. And I was in Walmart, and I saw him. And he looked at me and he went. I said, his last promise was to kill me. So you know what I did? I went right to him. I went to him, he looked at me, and he put out his arms. And he said, come here. I went to him, and he gave me the biggest bear hug. And he said, man, I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for what you did. You saved me. Now, all those times, all that stuff, and I can go off and name stuff after stuff, especially in hospitals and in serious business like that, where God gave that specific grace for that specific time to handle that specific problem. Now, don't be afraid when you get into situations. If you don't know what to say, sometimes just be there. Okay? Sometimes you got to say something. Sometimes you ain't got to say anything. But trust God to give you what you need at that time. The man that was going to kill me loved me. And then he gave me a whole biblical, or half of a biblical library from, what's the name of that place you went to, Don? What's the name of that church? Liberty. He had a Liberty, home Liberty kit. He gave me half of it. So cool. Not only did he love me after he was going to kill me, he gave me a bunch of stuff. That was cool. So now, get ready. This is good stuff. It's really helpful. With Christ in control, this is what's going to happen to you when you do this. Once you ask God, you want to please him, mold me, God. I want to seek to be a peacekeeper around here, bring people together. And once I make myself to where the Holy Spirit wants to dwell within me, sanctification, and know that your power for control is in unity in Christ. Watch what happens. These are things that's going to happen to you. Somebody say it's going to happen to me. All right, I'm going to go through it quick. Number one, with Christ in control, you will give up childish insecurities. Because the Bible says in verse 14, so then we are no longer be children tossed like ships and fro, being by chance, between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every change of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and the cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery, is inventing errors to mislead. In other words, we're not going to be tossed to and fro. We're not running around with our heads cut off. Because now God is in control, right? Who wants to run around with their heads cut off? Anybody ever kill a chicken? Which way did you do it? I did it both ways. I wrung their neck and I cut their head off. You did it both ways? We were ambidextrous. We did it both ways. Yeah. He'd take off running, okay? And so if somebody says you run around like a chicken with your head cut off, he would run around and run into stuff and just get up and keep on running, run into something else, keep on running, run into you and keep on running, you know? And I don't want to do that, okay? So now, number two, speak truthfully in love. The Bible says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him all things, which is the head, even Christ. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and all things unto him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. Number three, we become more like Jesus. Wow, that's awesome. From the whole body fitted, joined together and compacted by that which was every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. So we become more like Christ. Number four, we build up each other in love. The Bible says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy, growing, and is full of love. You talked about that tonight, sister. You said you come in, you felt the love. Just grab it. You get to live like a child of God, not the world. Verse 17 says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from life. God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. Again, like a chicken with their head cut off. Next, you become sensitive to the Spirit's leading. They have no sense of shame, for they live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But you don't, because you now, you're sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Exchange your old life for a new life in Christ. Again, let's just read this. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned with truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. All right? Now, let me keep on reading here. One more thing. That's it. Okay. Then, maintain honesty with yourself and with others. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you, but don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. So refuse to let your anger take control. Keep Satan from getting a foothold in your life, because anger gives a foothold to the devil. When you say somebody lost their temper, we know what happens. You see people how they act. But think about it this way. When you think about losing their temper, you think their temper's gone crazy. But if I've lost my temper, you know what it really means? Let's just say that is my temper. That's keeping me cool. That's keeping me like the Fonz. When I lose it, now how do I act? Out of control. And so to get back in control, you want to find your temper. Amen. Get back in control. And most of the time after you lose your temper, you really get upset. Because you say, man, I wish I hadn't acted that way. How many's ever said that? Man, I wish I hadn't acted that way. Do honest work and share with those in need. Verse 28. If you're a thief, quit stealing. You know, Paul, he sugarcoated some of this stuff. He didn't sugarcoat anything. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, let your hands use your hands for good, hard work, and then give generously to others in need. Use your words to build up and encourage one. This is what happened when Christ takes control. Because now it says, again, don't use foul or abusive language, but everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear him. Verse 30, refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Finally, the last two, refuse to speak maliciously of others. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And finally, be kind and compassionate and forgiving. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ, God through Christ, has forgiven you. Now, if you just look at this and read through this, just reading through it, sometimes you don't, if you don't break it down, you don't understand. This is awesome. One verse, this is your under armor. This is stuff you got to put on under that armor. And a lot of times people say they got that armor on. But I've seen people put the armor on and tear each other apart. I've done it. I'm wearing my armor, but I'm tearing people apart. I know y'all have never done that. Praise God, I have. I admit it. I have had my armor intact. You know, somebody one time told me, said, you need to learn how to use some tact. I said, I did. I tacked them right to the wall. So again, this is your under armor. Put this on. Once you put that on, then put your armor on. Amen? And God will do something special in your life. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you got everything under control, Lord, from the beginning to the end. Father, even we blow it, you got it. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you, God, for this under armor. I thank you, God, that we got something that can protect us and keep us safe and without harm. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us, God, to realize just how powerful your word is and just how powerful we can be if we'll let your word take root in our lives. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, to not only wear the armor, but, Lord, put on the under armor first so we can be ready. So we can actually do your work with grace. This is how we do it with grace. We go to Ephesians chapter 4. And until we get to Ephesians chapter 4, we don't need to go to Ephesians chapter 6 and try to put that armor on. Because we'll look like David trying to put Saul's armor on. But we go to Ephesians chapter 4 first and do this, then the armor will go on easily. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, anoint, have your will in your way, and I thank you, God, for something special taking place this week in our lives, especially from Ephesians chapter 4. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen. Yeah, sure. Well, there's also McDonald's across from Sella Ford in Newbern that when you go in, they're playing gospel music. And they're waiting for that. When you go in, they open the door for you and they do the same thing. It's so awesome. I don't like McDonald's food, but I sure like them. I mean, it's worth getting that food down, just going in. That's awesome. and had a comedian today. I went to a comedian today too. Sure did. I told the doctor, I said, I feel like I'm bloating. I need a new water pill. He says, you're bloating all right, but it ain't from water. It's from food. Stop eating. I said, quit holding back. Tell me how you really feel. Yeah.